Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Two Mics with Two Mics. I'm Pastor Mike, and I have a microphone.
And I'm Pastor Michael, and I have a microphone. And we have been taking a hiatus, but that is my fault. I take the full brunt because...
Something happened in your
something
family.
Something happened. I have, not personally, because I'm not a birthing person, but I have had a son.
You're not a birthing
I'm
person?
I'm not a birthing... I can't switch. I tried to switch and have him, but my wife said, I'll have him instead. So, yeah, I have a son, my second child. So that's why we've been on hiatus. So we are back, and there is a testimony revolving around that that is to come.
Which
and,
we will make an episode out
yes,
of.
Yes, we can make an episode
because it's
out of
about
that.
Faith.
Oh, yeah. It's about
and perseverance.
Prayer. Yep. A whole lot of biblical concepts wrapped up in my son's life
and populating heaven in a way you don't want to.
Correct, correct. And so that's where we've been, but now we're back. And today we want to talk. We're going to have an impromptu conversation.
We're back and we're bad.
In all I could think of is bad to the bone. Anyway, so we're going to have an impromptu conversation today about gullibility.
Gullibility. Sounds interesting.
Yes. I'm hoping it becomes interesting as we discuss.
I'm sure our audience is hoping it becomes interesting
yes,
as well.
I know. But no, gullibility in Christians. You know, when Christians get saved, we know that they receive a new nature.
Yes, okay? They're born again.
A born-again nature. A new creation that's never before existed.
Correct. Love of God in them.
Exactly
life of
right.
God in them.
Where you were one way, now you're another way, completely
exactly.
different. Where I was a drug addict and criminal, now I was freed and I have no desire to do those things.
Now you're a Christian drug addict and criminal. No, just kidding.
Hold on, let me be overly safe. I'm addicted to the Lord.
There you go.
Gosh, anyway. So point is, you know, when you were not a Christian, when you were a heathen, you never trusted anybody, you know?
Really hardly didn't. Ever.
Hardly ever.
Hardly ever. Maybe three people. Maybe. And they were relatives.
And you weren't a criminal. You were just a heathen. Right?
I was just a little demon, little demonic devil.
Well, when you're a heathen, you don't trust people.
You don't
for the most part. And yeah, you can probably count them on your fingers.
Yeah.
But then when you're a Christian, all of a sudden, that new nature, it's like what is it? 1 Corinthians 13:7. Okay, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It
wants
just becomes,
to trust people.
Wants to trust people. It says, love bears all things regardless of what comes. Great. Word of God. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, it's like it all of a sudden becomes the only verse for Christians. That
seems
you're supposed
like.
To believe the best in every single person. And no matter what you see, you just ignore it because you want to believe the best.
I heard a preacher say a while back, a couple of years ago, because that's all scripture is true.
100%.
But there are limits.
And there's balances in scripture.
There's balances, yeah.
You don't
that's
just have God being love,
limits.
You
right.
have God being judgment too.
Right. God being holy.
Correct.
So he said, if you just take that verse literally, you're going to end up having betrayal and hurt after betrayal
yep.
and hurt.
Yep. And I mean, one of the biggest... Christians take that and they make it the exclusive. But Jesus also gave a command. Now, he was talking about the disciples being sent out. He said, I'm sending you as a sheep among the wolves.
Right.
But he said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so a lot of Christians have to learn the hard way about being taken advantage of.
Right.
About being duped.
And being taken advantage of by so-called other Christians.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Ministers.
Oh, yeah. Ministers especially. Actually, because they're held to a double judgment. But just for instance, when I lived in Colorado Springs before this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colorado Springs, this is before weed was made legal. Almost on every single on-ramp, there was somebody asking for money. Like just some homeless person. That's increased in Lincoln. Okay, in Lincoln,
oh, yeah.
Nebraska. And we have, you know, we have tons of programs in Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
Even using discernment, not discerning of spirits. Discernment that you have as a Christian.
Spiritual discernment.
Yes, there is a difference. Christians, because they just go, I'm going to believe the best, that this person's actually just homeless and really down and out. They don't use any perception. They don't use any discernment. They'll just give money. I'll go back to a time where I was with a bunch of friends.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's so bad about giving money?
Well,
to someone you don't know that's begging on the street.
You don't know why they're on the street in the first place. In Lincoln, Nebraska, I'll harp on that for a second. We have such programs, for those who are listening, we have such programs where if you're homeless, it's usually because you're choosing addiction or you are addicted and you don't want the help to give it
but
up.
But not for everybody.
But not.
Right.
But yeah, the programs
no,
that
I mean,
because
there are some people that are homeless because they lost their job.
Correct.
They lost their finances.
Correct. But there are... there's housing, homeless housing here, homeless shelters here, where they really just kind of give you the tools to get back up on your feet. And they have stipulations where if you are addicted, if you are getting drunk, if you are, you know, doing drugs, things of that nature, they say you have to put those aside or you have to get rid of those. It can't come in here. And we will give you housing, we'll give you food, and we'll give you the ability to get back on your feet.
Yeah, like the People's City Mission. They will help you.
Correct.
Not just house you. They will help you, and they have programs in place to help you where you can get a job.
Yep, and we actually give to People's City Mission a lot because we believe in what they do. But no one stops to think in Lincoln, Nebraska, why is this person out on the street? They don't look and observe. They don't look at the person. When I was in New York, okay, I'm born and raised in New York. If people don't know that, whatever. I was born and raised in New York, and there was a time where I went with a bunch of young adults. And we were walking around the city and we were giving out food and we were giving out to anybody who was homeless, anybody we saw. And there was this one person, we were out of food and it was a friend of mine. And there's this guy sitting on like a barricade and he's asking for money. And he hits up my friend for money and he goes, you know, do you have $5? Do you have $5? You know, New York, do you have $5? And I look at him and I nudge my friend and my friend goes, oh yeah, I got money. And I looked at the guy. And I'm just using my perception. Every single piece of clothing this guy had on was 10 times more expensive than what I had on. We're talking serious Timberland boots, like the kind that are like $150 to $300. We're talking he had actual jewelry on that was really nice, way nicer than anything I had on. And he had the pants, everything. Everything
was
expensive.
He didn't have a Valentino shirt, did he?
No, he did not.
Oh, okay.
But the point is all you have to do is use some discernment, some observational skills, and then you're not taken advantage of. But people like that, there are people out there who are just looking to prey on good-hearted, good-natured, born-again Christians. But which, you are called. Go ahead.
Which makes you suspicious of everybody then. It can. It can make you suspicious of even legitimate people
100%,
that need help.
100%. But that's where the Holy Ghost comes into play.
That's why you need the Holy Ghost.
But if a Christian doesn't actually... If they just let their heart and that new nature go, oh, you know,
emotion,
I want to sympathize or emotion, or empathy, whatever it is, if they just go by what they're feeling as opposed to either praying and asking the Holy Ghost, okay, is this something I should be doing? Is there another way I can help this person? And they don't judge at all. You do need to judge.
You do.
You're not judging the heart.
What about when Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged? I mean, next to John 3:16, I think every Christian knows that verse.
Yes, they do. Go ahead. Go into it.
I'm asking you.
You're asking me. Judge not.
Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. A lot of Christians stop there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really impossible to not judge. I mean, hopefully you that are married, hopefully you judged whether that person you were going to marry was going to be a faithful husband or wife.
I've said this to so many people. We both made judgments this morning. Did you know that? Because we're wearing clothes. You made a judgment every turn
clothes.
You made when you drove your car here.
But that didn't
here.
Affect anybody.
No, but you,
I mean,
well,
it
the car does.
It could have.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the judgment could have. If I'd have chose not to wear it, that would have affected everybody. People
daily.
Have been thrown up everywhere.
Yeah, but you make judgments daily. Everyone does.
We do. We make judgment. Every election, we make a judgment. And so, of course, Scripture interprets itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to compare Scripture with Scripture. So you can't just take judge not that you be not judged. Read the rest of it. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged.
Yes, the measure.
And how you give it out is how it would be taken back to you. And then Jesus later went on to say, judge righteous judgment.
Yeah, that's in John 7:24.
Righteous judgment is judgment according to the Word of God.
Correct. And when you're judging with righteous judgment, you're using a metric that doesn't come from your emotion, doesn't come from your past, doesn't come from your empathy. God. It comes from God.
Right.
It's from without. And so a couple of instances. Here, let's talk about one instance. Okay. And this one's
well,
sad.
You were gonna say something about when you were in Colorado. And then
In Colorado there was someone on every ramp, but they didn't have the same programs that Lincoln does. I was gonna say something about New York, but I did. But here there was a gentleman that was homeless, and he was up the street from us, actually. And he was approached by a couple of different adults. But there was one youth that we just went on a mission trip. We just evangelized all throughout our city. And he saw him there, and he went back to him. He went to him first day. He brought him some food and some water. Second day, same thing. Third day, same thing. Kept inviting him to church, kept inviting him to come. On the fourth day, I believe, this gentleman started asking him for money. And so the youth called me, and he said, you know, well, should I help him out? You know, he's really down on his luck. And it was very clear that he was being manipulated.
The youth
was being manipulated because he was trying to get this gentleman into church. He was trying to hook him up to give him the tools necessary. And he just wasn't having it. He just wanted to stay where he was. He wanted to stay at the particular bus stop, at the particular place, and just be given food and water. And here's the thing. We come to find out later that this guy had a alcohol addiction. And he did not want to go into these programs. He did not want to get help. He did not want to get right. He wanted to keep his alcohol addiction and be served by other people who saw and took empathy on him. And so this youth got gypped out of however much money of water.
So he gave him food. But he didn't give him any actual cash.
On the fourth day he did. And then after that he called me. So yeah, he lost out because of his good-hearted nature. But he didn't perceive, okay, let me talk to him first. Let me use some of these, you know, let me use some righteous judgment here.
Right.
And see what's going on. A lot of people don't ask any questions.
The redeeming factor in that is, say we give to someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we give it in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
But they take it and misuse it. Well, that's on them, not on us.
No, true.
Because the Bible says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when we do it in faith, and that which we have given, the Lord will repay.
Correct.
So that's good. Sorry, well, I heard a phone call.
No, it's just my phone. I'm getting calls from people still about my son. But
well, we're not live, so it's not about the show.
So let me ask you, okay, because there's day-to-day Christians who see that stuff. There's day-to-day Christians, and yes, other Christians will do that as well. Mm-hmm. There's people that I know that have tried to help others, and those people have taken advantage of the grace of those Christians trying to help them, whether it be out of a bad situation.
Like what we got taken advantage of a few weeks ago.
Please share, because we're not exempt from these things.
We can be duped. We can be manipulated. Unfortunately.
And sometimes
because of good-heartedness.
Yes. So go ahead. Yeah, share it.
So there was a lady, I'll call her Sally. That's not her real name, but I'll call her Sally. And she contacted us, and she was homeless and had been living in her car with her two children and had been living in her car for roughly going on 10 months. And this was in January. And so she contacted us and wanted to know if we could help. And do you remember initially what she wanted help with?
Basically, she came in, and I was actually trying to leave, and
so you she met told, her.
Yeah, I met her first.
Okay,
and it was very clear.
I never met her.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true, huh?
Yeah.
So when I met her, she was telling me all the things that she had gone through, and just looking at her and discerning, I could tell. Okay. She has been through the ringer. She's full of this.
You said you got to look in her car and saw that. Yes,
I did.
She'd
I passed her car. I saw that she was living in her car. I could see it wasn't in the best shape, and she was asking for help for Section 8 housing. And I called you, talked to you, and we called Section 8 housing. We called all that, and we basically, out of good-hearted nature, the Lord spoke to you earlier that day too.
Right. Earlier that day, he spoke to me about giving to the poor.
Yeah. And so we cut her a check, but not her specifically. No,
we cut a check to the apartment place where she was applying for Section 8 housing. So we paid her application fee and some other fee, which equaled $190.
Yeah.
And then we gave a $500 deposit not to her, but to that
yes.
place.
And we wrote them a check, which wrote was a big thing. Because if she came in asking for money for her personally,
no, we don't
that's
do
one
that.
Thing. Hold on. That's right. something right there. If you're a Christian, and this is something you learned a long time ago, okay, because since I've known you, you've never really done this. If you're a Christian, you're trying to help someone out, you don't necessarily give to that person.
No, we try not to.
What do you do?
Well, we take down information, mm-hmm. excuse me, and we'll call like we did that day. We called the apartment complex. We talked to the manager, mm-hmm. and they confirmed that, yes, she had talked with them, and they had given her an application. And so then we told them that we will be writing checks out to them, mm-hmm. two checks, one for the two fees and one for the $500, and that she would be bringing them. And I thought it was going to be that day. That was a Wednesday that we wrote those,
yeah.
a little after 4 o'clock. And I think she picked them up here.
Yeah, it was Friday that she did it. She gave
but
she
Friday yeah. she went down. And so that's one thing. If she's in that dire straits and we give her the checks, and the I know the office didn't close till 5, and she had plenty of time to get down there, but she chooses not to do it that night. She chooses not to do it all day Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then she, you know, finally goes, you know, Friday, well, they're not going to prove anything on Friday, especially Friday afternoon.
Yeah,
the weekend's coming. So that was a flag that, well, maybe she's kind of pulling us along.
And the one smart thing that you did was you, just to
one
reiterate.
One smart thing. One I did smart. One smart
you
thing
get
in
one.
My life.
Yes, that's right. You wrote the check not to her. You wrote the check to the actual company.
Right.
And that is what I've witnessed him do when we're helping anyone out, whether it be with an electric bill, whether it be with rent, you know. Give me your landlord's information. Give me the bill.
Give me your
LES
account number. Give me
whatever.
Give me your name.
Exactly,
everything
your
I
water.
Need to pay it through them and
so
not through
you. So we contact
you.
Them directly because then you're actually putting the check or you're putting the funds towards helping their situation. Whereas, okay, I don't know how you got in that situation in the first place.
Right.
How did you handle your funds? Did something happen where it wasn't about you
and
handling your
gonna
funds?
And what's going to prevent this from not happening next month?
Correct. And so the best way to do that is to actually guarantee I'm going to help you with these bills, so I'm going to pay the people who are sending out the bills as opposed to giving you the money. And that's a good way to do it. But anyway, so...
So we... And I talked to the manager down there, and he said, listen, if her application falls through, I can either shred the check or I can mail it back to you. Well, mm-hmm. her application fell through because one of her sons had an incident and he did about $6,000 damage.
It made her ineligible
she said,
for it, yeah.
Yeah, which was true.
Yeah.
And so there were places that didn't want to rent to her because of that, mm-hmm. even though the situation had been dealt with.
Yeah, resolved. To
resolved
the
with the boy been, yeah. and everything else. But then we found out, she said, you know, I've cut a deal with one of the hotels here.
Hold on, let me pause before you get there, because here's the important thing. Out of the goodness of your heart and out of the prompting of the Holy Ghost, you wanted to put her up in a hotel that Wednesday. And you wanted to do that.
That's what I was getting
because
at.
You well, no, hold on, because mm-hmm. you're jumping a couple days later, aren't you?
No,
nope. Well, then go ahead.
No, I'm not. I'm then saying
go ahead. No,
that,
no, go ahead. My bad.
I'm
go ahead.
Saying that she said she'd found a hotel that she had bartered with or bargained with, and they were willing to put her up at $73 a night, and mm-hmm. she wanted to know if we could do that. And so, of course, $73 a night is pretty. You know, it's not a flea bag hotel. I mean, it's a nice one on the southeast part of Lincoln. And so come to find out, we said, yeah, we can do that. And come to find out through all of that, she had already been staying there. Mm-hmm. Take it over from there.
She had already been staying there, and another church program in town, because I can't remember, mm-hmm. I think it's a church program, had been putting her up for several nights. Come to find out even further that not only was she being put up there for several nights, but she also lied to them
to
about her situation,
that
other
organization.
And when I confronted her on it, because you and I had talked in private, and basically the conclusion when we were talking about it, like, because your red flags were going up, and I said, we don't know. Let's find out more information. So when we called her, we asked her more questions, and we said, okay, you know, this is what the hotel said, that you've been staying there, that you were staying there from this church program, so on and so forth. And when I confronted her on it, she said, yeah, I lied, and I'm sorry, and I'm in survival mode.
I'm just afraid of people.
I'm just afraid. And I said, and this is what I said. I said, do you have no fear of the Lord, that you're going to lie to two pastors. And then it kind of continued from there to where, because of the kids and because of, again, that new nature, that born again nature, mm-hmm. that loving nature, that want to help, that want mm-hmm. to get her free of this issue. You gave her a couple more nights because we ended up
providing 5 nights at that hotel, which was good for us because now I have a great rapport with the manager who actually called me, the manager from the hotel, who called me, I called him and was going to ask him a question about mm-hmm. her, and he said, I'm glad you called me because here's what I have found out.
Yep.
And that she had told that the organization that helped her out initially that she had been in the hospital with her son.
Yep.
Well, they asked what hospital. Well, she told them, not thinking that they weren't going to call. Well, they called the hospital, and they had no record of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had lied about that. She had called us or texted me one day and said, hey, can we stay one? This was the straw that broke the camel's back. Can we stay one more night? My son has 103 fever, and we really don't want to check out today. So I called the manager, having now have a rapport with him. He said, well, that's interesting because both her sons were out skateboarding outside in the back parking lot.
So the point of all this is really to say that, you know, you want to use discernment. And
you want to help the poor. But you want to help people. But yes, you have to use discernment.
And the fact is when we started that whole endeavor with this woman, part of it was, okay, we're going to give towards the Section 8 housing to help you. And then it snowballed from there, and then your discernment went up and red flag went up because I kind of like dipped out after I said, yeah, do you have no fear of the Lord? I was like, all right, pastor, you're going to handle this because I at that point I was going to say you've lied. You've taken advantage of our grace, and you know this is as far as we're going
to
help
you. And you're using your children to do that.
Exactly, and I met these kids, and they were – I mean, they're innocent. They didn't have anything to do with this woman in terms of her choices. And so, you know – it's using discernment, but you know there's two extremes because you see churches that have so much red tape that they won't help people unless this person jumps through about 3 or 4 or 5 hoops.
Or more.
And for us, we have probably the least amount of hoops as I see.
We have the setup where, we are trusted. We are trusted our elders and by our leaders and by the people in the congregation.
Well, let me give you another instance because, I mean, we're talking about individuals, but we're also talking about church here. And so here's an instance. And hopefully this helps somebody out there who's giving to somebody who maybe be enabling. So there was a gentleman, and he would come in into church. And I think I exclusively handled this one. And he'd come into church. He'd just walk right up, and he would be kind of dressed nice, and you could see his teeth were blackened. He was very, you know, he smoked or whatever. So he comes up, and I walk out there, and I go, hey, can I help you? And we kind of talk, and he gives me his story. I don't have internet. I don't have TV. I'm a widower. I don't have a job, and I only take the bus, and it only brings me here now at this time, and it's like in the middle of the day. Do you have any food stamps, anything to help me out? And so at that time, basically, I said, all right, you know what? Let me give you a little bit of money for food. And I kind of looked at him like, all right, this doesn't seem like it's money for food because he's very well dressed. And he walked up. I didn't see the bus at the bus stop in front of the church or whatever. And so I gave him a little bit of money, invited him to church, said, here's the times. You know, we'd love to see you. We'd love to be able to find out more about you so we can help you more. And that was it. A month later, he comes back. And it's the same thing. And the same story, the same everything. And so I gave him a little less money. And I said, why don't you come back this Sunday? Why don't you come back this Wednesday? And I invited him again. And I said, I think that week we actually had a special guest. I said, love for you to see this person, hear this person, to you know. And then I didn't see him again. There was a final time. And there has to be a boundary. There has to be a line. Especially if you see someone consistently, if you're friends with somebody, if it's somebody in your family, if it's somebody, I don't care who it is, there has to be a line. You can't just move that line consistently because you want to believe the best in somebody and because you want to be as loving as you can, right. You have to be wise. And with him, the third time he came in, I said, I'll just call him John. I said, John, this is the third time I'm seeing you. I said, I'm going to give you this money. I said, but I'm going to tell you this right now. The next time I see you, I want to see you in church because I don't want to see you coming and asking churches for money. I want to see you being able to have your own money.
Turning your life around.
We have money
around.
To spare where you can not only have what you need, but you can also give to those who are in need.
Right.
I want to see Jesus Christ turn your life around. I want to see you prosperous, not poor. And I went through this whole thing with him. I said, I want to see you redeemed by Jesus Christ. I said, but I don't, unless you come, unless you fellowship with the saints, unless I can, you know, we can hook you up with the right people. I said, John, this is the last time we're going to give you
money. Well, what if Jesus wants him poor?
Yes, the classic saying, what if Jesus wants you poor?
The poverty gospel.
Yes, the poverty gospel. Well, I think, you know, it says in the words somewhere, it plans to prosper you, not to harm you.
Right.
And I want you to prosper just as your soul prospers. But anyway, so I told him all that. That was the last time I saw him because I put my foot down. Like, no, we're not going to be taken advantage of. We're not going to be, you're not coming here every month for 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks. And I haven't seen him again.
Right. Because how many other places did he get 20, 40, 50 bucks?
And
or
that's
more?
The question. Because we're kind more. Of, for those of you who don't know where we are, we're kind of on Church Row here, where if you just go up the street, you can hit about 10 different churches if you walk long enough.
If you walk long enough.
Yes.
I'm thinking of earlier when you were talking a lot. No, I'm just kidding. Earlier.
I got the gift of gab.
I'm thinking
I've
of...
I've kissed the Blarney Stone.
Well, we were out on the streets, passing out tracts, and a homeless guy walked up to us and had alcohol on his breath, but, you know, we're talking to him, and he says, oh, man, I'm hungry. I said, well, great. I said, Wendy's is right there. Let's go. We'll buy you a meal.